Please join in our First Testament lesson this morning by reading together the 23rd Psalm as printed in your bulletin. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth my soul. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
This morning we conclude our series on the 23rd Psalm. We are looking at that short piece at the end, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Next week, we pick up a new series out of 1 Corinthians called Claiming Our Identity, as we struggle to see who we are supposed to be as the people of God in Jesus Christ. This morning, we are looking at the opening to the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes, and we're going to look at chapter 5 in Matthew, verses 1 through 10. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." The word of the Lord. It was right there. I walked in the hospital early one morning. This was back in San Antonio years ago, and I'd gone early for a prayer over someone who was going to have surgery. And as I walked past the gift shop, it was right there in the window. I mean, I couldn't believe my luck. I had no idea that it would be there. And so I looked at my watch to see what time it was, to think about how long it would take to have the prayer with this person for surgery. And then I looked at the sign on the door as to when the gift shop would open. And I figured I had time to get up there, have the prayer, come back, and be there just as the door opened, because it was unbelievable that it was there. And if I passed up this opportunity, I had no idea when the opportunity would ever arise again. And so I went up, I had the prayer, I came back down, the woman in the shop opened the door, I slipped in before anybody else, grabbed it off the shelf, gave them my credit card, and I had it. I had the Peace Bear Beanie Baby. Now, I was not a collector of Beanie Babies, but our daughter was. Our daughter just loved Beanie Babies. And for those of you, anyone do the Beanie Baby thing? Okay. All right, so Peace Bear was one of those that was sort of rare and unusual and flew off the shelf anytime it was there. And so I wanted to be sure that I got it. And I don't remember if I got it for her for Christmas or birthday, and whenever it was, she finally opened it and was thrilled. It completed her. It made her whole. It made her life. Yeah, for 10 or 15 minutes till it didn't. And then that beanie baby that I figured would really just complete our daughter eventually went in the pile with the other beanie babies and then went into this thing in the closet. We had one of those shoe things that you hang in the closet, you put shoes in, and all our beanie babies went in there. And then ultimately that beanie baby went in a big box with all the other beanie babies and made the trek here. Years later, long after our daughter had forgotten that there was a Peace Bear beanie baby. We people are funny creatures. I don't know if you've noticed that. Animals are simple, right? Animals need to eat. They need to mate. They need, most of them, not all, companionship. Life is pretty simple. That's all they want, that's all they need. But we human beings, we're much more complicated than that. We need meaning, purpose. We need to feel like we matter, that we're whole, that we're complete. We need to find these things to find any sort of peace in our lives. And when we don't have those things, our life just feels as if it is sort of coming apart. We're not satisfied with just eating and getting by. And so what happens is we go on the hunt. We hunt for those things that will make our lives complete, that we know if we just get them, we can be at peace. And what are those things? Well, I made a list of things that at one time or another I thought would make my life complete. And maybe some of you can find yourselves in here too. A particular phone. And we know, right? Apple's coming out soon with their next ones, and people will be lined up around the blocks and down the blocks and putting their pre-orders. A certain car, a certain job, a certain salary, a certain position, a certain person, a certain house, a certain neighborhood, a certain experience, a certain trip, maybe a certain camera, a certain grade, a certain boss, maybe a certain employee, a particular company, a particular body shape, a particular hair color, or in my case, hair, a certain pet, maybe even a certain beanie baby. That there is this sense that if we can get that thing, that person, that experience, that all will be well. All will be well. And often for a moment it is. Often for a moment it is all well, until it's not. And then those phones, people, cameras, experiences, trips, jobs, they all go into the closet, and we go looking for the next thing to make it all well. But what if there really is something out there that can make it all well? What if there is something out there that can bring us that peace, that wholeness, that wellness that we desperately long for in the midst of all that goes on in our lives? And what if it's not out there, but back here, What if it's not in front of us, but maybe it's behind us? Let me explain. To understand that, we have to go back to the 23rd Psalm. And what the 23rd Psalm says, the psalmist wants us to understand that reality of finding what will make all things well, that will give us that sense of peace and hope and life, it's really there, and we can have it. That's what the psalmist means when the psalmist writes, "And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Those words, for Jews throughout history, would bring forward two stories from the Old Testament, two images and visions from the Old Testament. The first would be the tent of meeting. The tent of meeting is exactly what it says it is. The tent of meeting was when the people came out of Egypt and they went in during the Exodus and they went into the wilderness, God gave them directions on how to build this tent of meeting. It's a tent because it's portable. It would go with them wherever they went. And inside this tent would be the Ark of the Covenant, the footstool of God, and the altar for sacrifice. And what happened at the tent of meeting is that God arrived. God descended, and God met the people of God there in that tent, in that place. No longer was God distant and removed, but God was present. And in God's presence, the people could find hope and courage. They could find all that they needed for their lives. And what that image did is that image then pushed them back into sort of the primordial stories, the great saga of creation, in which in chapter 2 of Genesis, what you find is that story of God with Adam and Eve. That God is present with them. Before the fall, before chapter 3, you have this sense of Adam and Eve existing in this amazing relationship with God. They're lacking nothing. They are whole, they are complete, there's peace, there's joy. And so when the author of the psalm says, "And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever," what he's saying is, it's possible to be present with God. To be present with God like the people were in the tent of meeting. To be present with God like they were in Eden. To have God there. And in that presence to find our whole being, our whole selves, our peace. But the question is, how do we get there? Okay? How do we get there? And the answer is, we slow down. Before the writer says, "And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life," he says, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." Now, where does that sound like goodness and mercy are? Right? Behind us. Right? It's this sense of they shall follow me all the days of my life, which again, as I said last week, this made no sense to me whatsoever. I want goodness and mercy up here. I don't want it back there. Right? And goodness and mercy is this covenant faithfulness, this presence, this love, this grace of God. Well, that's actually a very poor translation of the Hebrew. The Hebrew, rather than saying goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, what it actually says is goodness and mercy shall pursue me. What the author is saying is that this presence of God, this sense of God's love and grace and covenant faithfulness, this is pursuing us. It wants to take hold of us. It wants to draw us into the house of God. For those of you who were here last week, I talked about this sense of God's tent being open, right? That a shepherd comes to a tent in the wilderness, and whoever is in the tent opens the tent and invites them in and protects them and provides for them. Well, God is not waiting, according to the psalmist, for us to happen to wander by. God is pursuing us. God is coming for us. God is inviting us. God is drawing us. And so all we have to do is slow down. Is to slow down and let God catch us. That instead of looking out there for that thing or that experience, all we have to do is allow God to catch up with us. See, and that's what Jesus says in the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the meek. These are people who have slowed down and have allowed God to catch them. And they're blessed. And they experience God's presence and God's peace, God's wholeness. And so this, for me, is a great place to end the psalm, not just because it's the end of the psalm, but because it sums up everything we've learned. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. God desires to watch over us, to be present with us. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He gives us peace in the midst of anxiety and struggle. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thy rod and staff, they comfort me. God gives us this sense of hope and confidence to know that we don't travel the road alone. And then God comes pursuing us, inviting us into God's presence through the Spirit, through Christ within us. And so I want to offer you a challenge. And this is a challenge, as Cindy will tell you, for me as well. So here's what I want you to do. When you leave here today, I want you to take your bulletin with you. Don't leave it on the pew. Don't leave it for Jan, though she needs extras. Take your bulletin with you, and when you get home, clip out the 23rd Psalm. If you haven't done so already, clip it out. Put it someplace where you'll notice it. And then, at least once a week, see, I'd like to say every day, but I know that's reaching. At least once a week, mark out half an hour. Half an hour. Turn off the cell phone. Turn off the television. Turn off the radio. For those of you with children, maybe it's after they're all in bed or before they get up. Find half an hour a week and pick up the 23rd Psalm. Pray it. Meditate on it. And let God catch up to you. That in those words, let God catch up to you and remind you that you are a beloved child of God to whom God wants to give every gift of peace, hope, joy, love, wholeness. Half hour a week. Silence, quiet, and let God's presence wash over you. Let us pray. Loving God, we give you thanks that your love for us is real and alive, and that even in the midst of the most difficult of times, you have not left us, but you are there pursuing us, wanting us to have the gift of the fullness of life. Help us to allow you to catch up to us, that we might have all that you offer. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.